We'll commence with the October 10, 2008 edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another edition of the Rain Report. I'm Rick Johnson, KA9VZD, glad to be back in the Rain Corral. If you run the Rain Report on your repeater or simplex net, and you are, of course, encouraged to do so, we recommend you subscribe to the free Rain Podcast. We'll see that these weekly programs are sent to your computer automatically, and you won't be scrambling at the last minute to download them. See therainreport.com for details. This week, we bring you our second in our Rain series, Ham Radio Roots. This one with Carol Lynch, W6CL. An Oklahoma ham all her life, Carol is a fixture on 40-meter traffic and CW nets in the Oklahoma-Texas region. How she met and married her husband, Joel, N6CL, editor of CQ VHF magazine, is a story of romance that took literally a quarter century to kindle. But first things first. Carol learned about amateur radio from a good friend in 1960 while attending the Oklahoma School for the Blind in Muskogee.
This guy and I rode the bus home together a lot, and he would tell me about listening to various conversations on his receiver, and eventually I went over and listened on his receiver, an RME 4300, and it was a pretty nice receiver. So I told my parents I thought I might like to get into ham radio. At the school, there were two individuals from a local radio club who agreed to teach the novice class. Also, at that time, one of the parents of a guy who attended the school was going to help with the class, too. I think he was a radio man in the service. Well, I kind of liked his son, so I thought I might get a few points if I joined this club. So I was in the eighth grade at the time. Since I'm somewhat musically inclined, the code was very easy for me, and it just happened that I was the leader of the code class. I didn't particularly enjoy the theory at the time, but to gain a few more points, I decided I better get busy and learn this theory so I could pass the test. And this was in 1960. During the spring of that year, we all passed our novice test. Then the summer of 60 was when I became licensed as KN5CPZ. As it turns out, the guy I liked moved to St. Louis with his family the next year. He never did get on the air. It didn't really present a problem for me because at that time I had plenty of guys to talk to anyway.
What was your first novice rig?
An ICO 720, a rockbound rig, and an RME 4350. And my crystals were 7180, 7176, or 40 meters. They were loaned to me. And then I had a 15-meter crystal, 21180. I used mostly trap vertical that was ground mounted. It didn't do too great for me, but I was still able to get out with it okay. And then eventually, a nearby ham heard me on the air and put up an inverted V for me, which got me out a lot better. I was from a small town in Oklahoma, about 50 miles southwest of Tulsa, which is Drumright. And at that time, when I got my novice, I was the only ham in town.
It's nice that you actually remember your novice frequency. I asked all my interviewees who were novices what their frequencies were, and a vast majority don't remember. I remember I had 7154, 7163, 75, 85, and 92. Then for 15 meters, of course, I used 40 meter crystals. 21, 120, 135, and 150. So that was, again, the non-renewable one-year novice.
Yeah, general. I upgraded the following year. My rig was still the ICO 720 and the RME 4350 for several years. I got a Heathkit VFO that was a little bit drifty, but it did the job for me. Then I got the ICO 730 modulator for AM. My parents enjoyed AM more than I did. They liked to come and listen to a lot of my AM contacts. That's mainly the reason I had the 730K modulator and a D104 mic.
That's back in the days when AM was a lot more common and not crowded off the bands the way it so much is today.
Yeah, at that time, everyone was very courteous, I thought, and there was very little quarreling among the AMers and the sidebanders.
What was your first single sideband rig?
Finally got on single sideband when my ICO 720 just wasn't going to work for me much anymore. And that was in 68. I got a Swan 500. It worked well for me on CW as well as on sideband. By that time, though, I had a 75-meter inverted V and a tri-band beam. However, a tornado occurred in my hometown in 74, so I lost all my antennas. beams. Eventually, I got an inverted V put back up, but I never did replace the beam. In Drumrite, I had a 70-foot tower, and that was quite a conversation piece around town. And we had all kinds of ham operators who would drop by and visit from time to time. They'd just see the beam and the tower, so they'd drop by for coffee. And my parents loved it.
Amateur radio has been a great level playing field, as the term goes, for folks with disabilities. Have you found through your ham radio years that you've received a good amount of help from the local sighted hams, or has that been catch-come-catch-can?
Well, for the most part, I've always received help working with antennas or if I had a repair problem, anything of that sort. I've never really had too much difficulty, and I might have to wait for a few days or maybe a week. Insofar as a level playing field, I find that it is a level playing field. I was always very pleased, especially when I moved to Oklahoma City in 79, that so many hams were very helpful, especially when I got established on 2 meters. That was my first time to get on 2 meters, and we used to have what they called the night owl net on 14767. I thought I was really uptown with my handheld, and I could do phone patches and that kind of thing. What was just really so neat, I thought, was when so many hams would stop by and say, hey, let's go for coffee, or might call me on 2 meters and say, we're going to have lunch or dinner at such and such a place. Would you like to meet us there? Would you like for me to pick you up? I really have always enjoyed the social aspects of ham radio.
You're listening to Carol Lynch, W6CL's Ham Radio Roots. We'll hear how she met her husband, Joe Lynch, N6CL, editor of the CQ VHF magazine, and hear the rest of her story in a moment. From Chicago, this is the Rain Report.
We met over the air on 40 meters CW. And this was back in 1962 when both of us were in high school. I was in Drumrite at the time. We met over the summer. And he was in San Diego, where he's from originally. He was helping a friend with both the code and the theory. He answered my CQ one evening, and we talked for a while. And then he set up a sched with me before we signed. Then we would talk during the evenings from my home, and he was still at his friend's house for about a week. I sort of forgot about Joe, and about a month later, he called, and when he said, this is Joe, I want to get on the air with you, and I said, Joe who? And he said, oh, don't you remember? I just talked with you about a month ago. So we talked every evening at 11 o'clock my time on 7125. Then he learned that I was visually impaired. I guess we had talked for about several weeks before I happened to mention it. And he had a friend who was also visually impaired, so this friend taught him the Braille alphabet. We corresponded then in Braille because he wanted me to be able to read my own letters. Not that he said anything all that exciting, but at any rate, he wanted me to read my own letters. Then he wanted to practice his Braille by having me write to him in Braille. He sent me a box of See's Candy, which I'd never heard of, for Valentine's the next year. This was in 63, I believe. I acknowledged receipt of the candy, but somehow he never did receive my letter. Since I didn't hear any response, I thought he was disinterested in me, and then since he didn't hear from me, he thought I wasn't interested in him. Interestingly, we were out in San Diego, we meeting my parents, and I were out in San Diego the following year. I had my parents look up every Lynch they could find in a little suburb he lived. There was only one Lynch, I think, in this little suburb. I kept calling this Lynch family, but the line was busy. And Joe seems to think that it was probably his sister on the phone talking to one of her boyfriends or something all afternoon. So I just gave up. But it's interesting that you'll recall I mentioned the tornado that came through Drumrite. This was in 74. Joe saw it on national news, and he called the police department in Drumrite to check on my family.
So you guys were out of touch for like 10 years?
Yeah, we were out of touch for 10 years. My parents gave Joe my phone number, so we talked casually for a while. I wasn't on the air at that time. I was in an apartment. I could listen. I did have an antenna, but we had a security gate out front. Every time I'd get on the air, the whole apartment complex knew, because I was coming through on a security gate.
Oh.
And we couldn't figure out a way for me to get out of that security gate. At any rate, we would talk by phone, and then he was on a trip for a family reunion to Nebraska, so we met very casually in the mid-70s. We kept up just a casual correspondence. Then in 84, he decided to move to Oklahoma City, where I was living at the time, and go to Oklahoma City University. Now, at that time, I was dating two other guys. Joe was just sort of, well, you might say kind of in the way, because... I didn't know if I could squeeze three guys into my schedule or not, because I was working at the time. The two other guys I was dating eventually got married, and Joe was the only one left. We married in 98.
98?
98, yeah.
Not late.
Well, that's kind of a long time, I must admit. Joe had several jobs during that time, but it just seemed that each job would have a way of falling through. For instance, he worked at a place called Handyman and Handyman Clothes, and then he worked for a computer place called Master Systems and Master Systems Clothes. It just seemed like each job kind of had a dead end. So I said, now, Joe, if we're going to get serious, seriously, you're going to have to do better than this and get some kind of a job that is going to be around for a while. So he decided then to go to seminary, and I had no idea that I was going to be a pastor's wife, because when I went to the University of Tulsa for my undergraduate work, religion was required. One of my lowest grades was in religion. I made a C in religion. I didn't take it very seriously because I had it at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I had no idea that I was going to wind up being a pastor's wife. He was doing his internship in 98, and I wanted to wait to see how he was going to do before I told him that it was time for us to get married. It has worked out very well. He's been a pastor now for about 11 years, and he became the editor of CQVHF.
That was Hap Holly, KC9RP, speaking with Carol Lynch, W6CL, about her ham radio roots. Hap caught up with Carol at the recently completed Digital Communications Conference held in suburban Chicago. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2008 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Rick Johnson, KA9VZD, back after a considerable absence, bidding you very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.